spirits, you have to make sure you're on the narrow path of truth, because there's a lot of things that will sound correct, but if it's not leading you in the Word of God and obedience and coming out of the world, losing your life, your whole life, not just little bits and pieces of it, it's not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And hey, I just want to say real quick, I just started an audio. I'm making an audio recording. And when we're done, if everybody agrees, I think it'd be a great thing to edify other people. We don't need to mention anybody's names or anything. But when we're done, if you don't want to use it, then we won't use it. But I am making an audio now, just in case we decide to use it. Everybody okay with that? Yeah, because people hear it and they get edified by it. So Brother Akuo and I are on with this young man that we're talking truth and we're talking about conversion. Brother Akuo, would you go over the biblical gospel? Trey and I have gone over this. Oh, I just said his name. That's okay. We've gone over it. He can decide if he wants to use the audio or not. We've gone over it many times in the past. But as you do in the street, Brother Akuo, preach the gospel. And edify us with that. What would you say to somebody that walked up and said, well, how do I find eternal life? What do I do? What has to happen? What are you talking about? I go to church. What would you say, Brother Cool?
Well, I would say first, you have to be aware that there's many false Christs in the world. Jesus said many false Christs will arise, many false prophets. Paul said many grievous wolves will enter in when I leave. So we have to make sure we're placing our faith, and that's a trust, in the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, the biblical Savior. So that first step is faith, because without faith, you can't please God. And without faith, everything else falls apart, because we have faith in the hope of salvation. Jesus Christ made the narrow way. You have to have that faith in the Word of God that Jesus is Lord. He is who he says he is. Everything is about him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Once you put your faith in the biblical Savior, Jesus' first ministry words were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist's first ministry words, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You have to repent. And what does repentance look like? Repentance is coming out of the world. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. So you come out of the world. You hate every false way, as it says in Psalm 119, 104. You hate sin. You have a change of mind, change of ways, metanoia in the Greek. You change your heart and your mind towards sin. And you say, you know what? This is putting me at enmity with God. This is, I'm going to be judged for these sins. The Lord is going to judge everyone according to his works. If I have faith in this biblical Savior, I need to repent. This is what I have to do. So you need to turn. When you turn, the Lord sees a willing vessel. Acts 5, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So when you repent, come out of the world, you start shedding your sin. You start leaving your false ways. You start pressing into the kingdom of God. The Lord wants none to perish. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. It'll be that it will guide, that will convict, that will lead you into all truth. You'll be led into all truth. It's the Spirit of truth. And you'll continually, it says in the scriptures, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Romans 8:29, you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. The Spirit will take you into the Word of God, and the fruit that you have, the Holy Spirit of God, holiness and obedience to the Word of God, your life begins to look like Jesus Christ, and it begins to conform, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 1, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you shed all willful sin. You're born, Hebrews 10:26, there's no sacrifice left for willful sin. You shed all willful sin. Born again by the Spirit of God after dumping out your vessel of all the worldliness and sin.
Amen.
He fills you up with the Holy Spirit. You have fruit, holiness, and obedience to the Word of God. The last part, continue in it. Jesus said, he that endures till the end shall be saved. It's a covenant. You have to walk in it your whole life. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, Jesus Christ cleanses us of our sin. if we don't walk in the light, we have examples in scripture. Demas turned back to the world. He loved this present world more than he loved the world to come. And there's other examples in the scriptures of people turning away. Paul repeatedly says, if you continue, if you hold fast, if you hold to the traditions I've handed down, there's a lot of ifs. And in Revelation, Jesus talks about, he that overcomes the world will I give to sit on my throne. He that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life. But be of good comfort. He gives us his Holy Spirit if you really repent. And he said, be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. So we can do it through his Spirit, because without him, we can do nothing. But that's the biblical gospel. And the big part of that, a lot of churches get wrong, is repentance and turning from all your false ways, turning from all your sin. Most people don't even get to the Holy Spirit born again part.
Yeah.
They never get to the Holy Spirit born again part. And very few bear continuous fruit unto eternal life and endure till the end. So, I mean, it's a very few number that's actually going to make it to eternal life. But
yeah,
if you're willing to count the cost, lose your life, you can make it in.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, that's the whole biblical gospel.
Amen. Well said, brother. And that's a lot more than just going and sitting in a church pew saying, I believe in Jesus. And that's the problem with churchianity, is they allow people to sit in their sin, sit in their worldliness, not follow Jesus, and they're stamping them born again Christians. And everybody goes, oh, I'm okay. The pastor says I'm fine. Cause you know, we're all sinners and Jesus made the way for us no matter what. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says Christ's death, burial, and resurrection makes us eligible for salvation. He did his job perfectly. Now we have a covenant side to keep and follow after him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, yeah, well said, brother. That's the biblical gospel. And I know I already said your name, so Trey, we went over that lots and lots of times. You still believe that, Trey?
Most definitely. And all throughout scripture you see if Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah, amen. I know you and I went over that a lot of times in the past. And so this is where the churches fall short, because I know you know lots of people that go to church, but they live just like the world, including that man, I won't mention his name, that you and I talked about, that I met with you, and then he texted me later. They just go to church, and they still live like the world, and they're still carnal, and they're still fleshly, and they pretend like they're of God when they are not of God at all. Do you know a lot of people like that?
I definitely do, yes.
Yeah. So if your charge is to follow Jesus, you can't be anything like that. He says, lose your life in Matthew 10. And he says, come out of the world, because my sheep are not of the world, John 17. And James 4:4 says, if we're fond of the things of the world, sports, politics, entertainment, pride, vanity, fashion, whatever that's of the world, we're an enemy of God. This is where the church system falls short mostly, because they want to fill buildings, so they let people have dual citizenship. You can be a believer and be of the world. Yeah, it fits really good. I do my religious service, and I go watch football, basketball, go work out, do my hunt and fish and idolatry. But I go to church on Sunday because God loves me. Well, guess what? You're not even born of God, because if your heart was changed, you'd go, wait a minute, I'm a friend of the world. And what are we supposed to be doing? What did God call us to do? Once we're born of God, did he call us to keep doing our hobbies, to keep being like the world, to keep following politics, sports, entertainment? What do you call us to do, Brother Akuo?
Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest sends forth laborers into his harvest. So basically, we're now slaves of righteousness and slaves of the Lord to serve the Lord and do his will, worship him in spirit and truth. So,
amen. Amen. So I'm glad that we all agree on that gospel. That's kind of our foundation, and everything springs from that. So if you ask me about an activity and you say, well, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a bartender. Okay, let's test that to the word of God. So you're going to be helping people get drunk. How does that fit into the gospel? And we start going through, well, if you claim you're born again, is that a holy lifestyle to choose? No, that's not. All right, you don't want to be doing that kind of lifestyle. So everything in life comes back to the gospel. Hey, I'm going to marry somebody. You are. Yeah, who'd you find? Oh, she's an awesome person. Is she a believer? No, not really. Okay, you can't marry an unbeliever because the Bible says, what can the light and darkness and unbeliever have yoke with a believer? So everything's linked to the gospel, right? That's why we cling to the gospel. That's why we preach it all the time. We never get far from it in the streets. You can't mention one topic that we can't take to the gospel real quick. It's all tied together. So I'm glad we got to go over that gospel message, because that's really important. So I'm just going to kind of hand it over to Trey and say, where do we go from here, Trey?
I would definitely say, as hard as it might be, it's not about feelings. Life's not about feelings. It's about doing what's right and doing what's right for yourself. But I would definitely say, from here on out, I'm going to follow Christ. No matter how hard it gets, it's not supposed to be easy. If anything, when you start to follow Christ, it's supposed to get harder. You deal with temptation, you deal with persecution, you deal with, I guess, physical loneliness. You won't be lonely because the Lord will be with you. But it gets harder. So I would definitely say living for the Lord. But yeah.
Yeah, physical loneliness. Last night I did an audio, and Brother Koo and I usually do studies and teachings almost every night. Either street preachings or something that we're doing. If we don't do a study or teaching, we've been out street preaching. Last night I did one on being a pilgrim and a stranger and an alien in the world. Tonight we're going to post kind of like a commentary. Brother Kua did some thoughts came to his mind about the teaching I did. So we're going to post that. But that's exactly what you're talking about. But you're right. Christ is with us. And if you know some other true saints, that can be a great plus and a benefit that you can study with, have accountability with, fellowship with. But you're not alone. And I always tell people, you know, they'll come outside their church buildings and they'll laugh and they'll go, ho, look at, there's 187 of us. There's only two of you, me and my wife, or me and Brother Kuo, three of us standing out there. And I always tell people, I will take the minority with God all day long versus your majority in your sin, your worldliness, your compromise, your feminization. So always take the minority. You mentioned Noah before we got on. He was mentioning Noah. Noah was a minority with God, and it worked out good for him. You want to be in the minority with God. You don't want to be in the majority without the truth of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So how can we help you from here?
I would definitely say encouragement, but my main concern is, I would definitely say commandments, understanding what Jesus commands. That's my main concern, theology, who God is, stuff like that. My main concern is only with that is because I struggle with doubt, and I don't want to have to doubt, am I following it correctly? Is this the right command? Is this the only... It's just, for me, I've always struggled with doubt, and I just want to make sure I'm following correctly.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know...
So let's go over that question, and sometime we can do a real detailed, in-depth Bible study on it, but for right now, go pose the question you asked, and then we'll go over it, and we'll cover it from kind of a 10,000-foot level, and then we can do a Bible study on it and really hone in on it. But for tonight, let's just kind of cover it from the 10,000-foot level. So what are you struggling with?
I would say more so the commandments. Just the commandments altogether. I wouldn't say altogether. I can't think of the commandments that I am struggling with, but I know for certain that there's certain ones that I am struggling with.
Okay, so when you're talking about commandments, you had said that the question you posed to me when you texted me was about keeping Torah law or not keeping Torah law.
Correct, right? Yes.
And that's probably something you picked up on from the internet, somebody on the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, the Hebrew roots theology is very growing and popular, even though it's a cult. There's a lot of growing popular cults out there. Jesus said it would be so in the last days, like Brother Kuo said. So, Torah keeping the Torah law. It's really easy to decipher this. What covenant are we in, the new or the old? Whoever.
The new.
We're in the new covenant. Was Torah law under the old or the new covenant?
The old.
Okay. So right now we know we're in the new covenant and law was given in the old covenant. Okay. Who was the law in the old covenant given to?
Moses.
Right. And he gave it to the people who were the Israelites.
Correct.
Right. And they lived eventually in Israel, in Jerusalem, right? And eventually they had a temple and they had a priesthood. Do we have that today, a temple that's a stone temple that God tells us where we're supposed to worship?
No.
Do we have a Levitical priesthood of special men doing animal sacrifices for us today?
No.
Do we live in Israel where we could even go and keep the Torah law that God commanded us to do? Go there 3 times a year, do these festivals, offer your sacrifices, bring a lamb to a priest to kill for you. Can we do that?
No.
So, logically thinking, can we even keep Torah law today?
No, not at all.
So would God give us a law to keep in the new covenant that we can't even keep?
No.
So we're slowly answering these things for you. So I have a bunch of articles on the teaching blog about Hebrew roots exposed. You can look it up. The Saturday Sabbath is not for today. Christ is our Sabbath rest. He rose on Saturday. He died Wednesday. He rose on Saturday. He's our Sabbath rest. But you asked a specific question about, you said something along the lines of Jesus saying that we had to obey the law or something like that. Do you remember how you posed it?
Yes, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill.
Right.
And then, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. And then I'll just finish this. I can't even talk. I'll just finish it off with this. The other, Paul said, if we live under the law, then Christ is, I don't want to mess the scripture up, but Paul said basically that Christ is pointless.
Yeah. Christ died in vain. See, that's another evidence against Torah. If we have to live under Torah law, then Christ's death that nailed the law to the stake, the cross, the stake, then it's all in vain. The key to what Jesus said, he did not come to abolish the law. He said he came to what?
Fulfill.
Do you know what his last words said on the stake when he died?
It is finished.
And you look up those words in the Greek, and it means to fulfill.
To fulfill. I always heard that it was payment.
It was like what?
Paid or something. Paid in full or something like that. That's what I always heard online, but yeah.
Wait. I missed it. You always heard it was online. It was what?
It was something like paid in full or something.
Oh, paid
like
in
that.
Full. Yes. Yeah. Paid in full, but he fulfilled the law for us. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He did something none of us could do, lived the law perfectly, and he said, it is finished, and then he gave us new commandments. And the new commandments are what's carried out in the new covenant, and all of those we can keep, okay? And there's over 1,050 commands in the New Testament. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, like love each other, exhort each other, all of those. There's over 1,050, and we keep them by walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit guides us and helps us. We don't have to have them all memorized with like a checklist. We love God, we love our neighbor, we love the brethren, and we just walk in the Spirit of God, and he helps us fulfill all those. So Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law. We're in the New Covenant, and here's the beautiful thing. Ready? The Ten Commandments that were kind of given as a moral outline, right? 9 of those are directly echoed in the new covenant. So they're echoed for us to keep in the new covenant. There's one that's not directly echoed, and that's the Saturday Sabbath. But we're still keeping the Sabbath today. Why? We're resting in Christ. Christ has become our Sabbath rest. We don't rest on Saturdays. We're resting in Christ. Our work, laboring to please God as a blood sacrifice, is over. Christ was the one-time sacrifice for us all. Okay? And so these Hebrew roots false people are telling you, you can't eat pork, you got to do this, you got to wear tassels. The Old Testament law will crush you because you can't keep it. But guess what? the new covenant we can keep. Everything he gave us, we can keep. And Paul says in 2 Thess 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down. So Jesus calls Paul. Paul teaches all the new covenant traditions via the Holy Spirit. And that's what we live out. And that's what we follow today. We follow the new covenant and the traditions that Paul laid out. That's how we can test the church systems today and see how false they are. Hey, let's see. They practice Christmas. Where did Paul practice Christmas? Nowhere. Hey, they practice Easter and Good Friday. Where did Paul practice Easter and Good Friday? Nowhere. Those are all Roman Catholic holidays. Where did Paul call Sunday the Lord's Day? Nowhere. It's a Roman Catholic invention. Where did Paul institute putting up buildings and hiring one guy as a modern pastor, controlling everything in an hour and a half ritual service with fleshly music? Nowhere. That's another man-made invention. So we can test the New Testament, the so-called New Testament bodies today, churchianity, to the New Testament body, and we can see that which is right and that which is wrong. Does that make sense?
Most definitely, most definitely.
Brother Kuo, any thoughts you want to add to what I was saying?
No, I think you covered it pretty well, just the old covenant, the new covenant. We're in the blood covenant with Jesus Christ. As long as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we walk in the light and not in the darkness. The Spirit will help us. He'll guide us, because without him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
So we need him to guide us and to help us to live in spirit and in truth. And yeah, we can obey all the commands of the New Testament by the Spirit of God, who leads us into all truth.
Amen.
And that's the promise.
Yeah, John 16, the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. So yeah, put away that idea that you got to keep Torah law. Basically, I would encourage you to read the Gospels and the epistles, and even the book of Revelation right now can be rather confusing to people. Focus on the gospels and the epistles, and we see the transition from Christ completing Torah law. Because do you realize this? The New Testament doesn't really start in the book of Matthew chapter 1. When do you think the New Testament really starts, Trey?
It would be after Jesus is resurrected.
Very good. Yeah. At the very earliest would be when he's instituting like the Lord's Supper, saying, this is my new covenant. But yeah, literally at his crucifixion and his resurrection, that's when the new covenant starts. So the old covenant is most of the gospels. And then we have his resurrection, and then we have the new covenant, Acts 2, Pentecost, and then we see how we're supposed to live. A body has multiple elders. If you have enough people, you can have deacons. All men are able to use their giftings. We don't need buildings. We don't follow man-made programs. We're not of the world. We come out of the world. This is how you know the difference between truth and churchianity. Look at the churches. They're all Roman Catholic-like, evangelical-like, man-made tradition-like, and they're all of the world. Does that sound like the body that Christ ordained? No. So you got to be willing to come out of the world to follow Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. Otherwise, you're never going to follow him that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So does that explain your question about Old Testament to New Testament?
Yeah. No, most definitely.
Look up my articles on the teaching blog under Hebrew Roots Exposed. I go through the Sabbath. I go through all of those things. And yeah, the Torah law will crush you, because you can't keep it, and you have no sacrifice. So focus on the risen Savior, and focus on what his workers, Paul and Peter and John, laid out for us in the New Testament body.
Most definitely.
It makes
most
sense. Definitely. And by the way, if I didn't tell you, Brother Kuo is a van dweller along with us. I don't know if I told you that.
I could kind of tell you. Yeah,
he's in his van. And, he traveled with me all winter, or most of the winter, and preaching down here. And now he's back up in Wisconsin working and laboring, and, still out doing his street ministry. He was out witnessing today. And so, yeah, praise God.
Most definitely.
So what else? What else? How can we help you tonight? Anything else? We want to edify you. We want to encourage you. Are you willing to lose everything for the cause of Christ?
I like the excuse of I'm young, but I never know when I'm going to die, so yes.
Yeah, you're young. Men your age die all the time. Exactly. And I always ask people, you know, like the people that'll say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm older. Well, one, you don't know if you're going to get old. And two, have you ever thought about every day that you don't serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you actually are, ready? You're violent against God. And here, let me go there. Violence is not us punching each other in the face. That can be violence. Violence is injustice. Look up the word in the Hebrew. God destroyed the world in Noah's day for injustice, violence. And guess what? You're violent against God. You know why? Because every day you don't serve Jesus Christ in spirit and truth, are you not stealing the glory from God?
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to wait till I'm 50 to serve Jesus. Yeah, 30 years you wasted. You've stolen the glory of God. You've been violent against God for 30 years, premeditated. Don't do that. Come now. Give him his glory. Give him everything that he's worthy of because he shed his blood for us. And don't put it off in selfishness. That's just a wicked way to put off salvation. Your heart's not right when you do that. So, yeah, I'm glad you see that. And so what are your biggest roadblocks, do you think?
As in giving my life to Christ or the commandments aspect?
Well, no, giving your life to Christ, following Christ, obeying him, becoming a obedient man of God and seeking the kingdom every day and showing it out with fruit and living the faith. What are your challenges?
Honestly, I would definitely say my challenges would just be, it would honestly just be one. It would be giving up family. I guess I would say nicotine too. I know that sounds bad. But it would, the main one is family.
Yeah. And that's hard. Brother Kuo, talk about that. Give him a little bit of your testimony, Brother Kuo, as I catch you as you're chewing food there.
Right. Yeah. So I met Brother Tupos while I was actually working a job in Wisconsin, going around the state, leading a crew of people doing conservation projects. I heard him at a festival. I had ears to hear, and I said, you know what, that sounds right. I got to look into this more. And went into the scriptures, spent all my time looking into it, and I found out, yep, that's the biblical Christ. I got to repent, lose my life. I dropped my nets, never went home to my family in Appleton.
Yeah, he was less than a couple hours from his family. He never went home and said goodbye to his family physically. He did reach out to them, gave them the gospel. They didn't want the gospel. They're worldly, false religious people. And Brother Kuo dropped his net to follow Christ, and that was about 9 months ago. He's never gone back to say goodbye to his family. And you were very close to your family.
Yeah, I was very close to my family. And it's interesting. This is one of the tribulations you have to overcome, and the Spirit will give you the boldness. My family actually hunted me down. They drove all the way to Missouri. And my dad drove all the way to Missouri. He found me in a park. And that's crazy. And he actually came up to me and he tried to get a lot of flesh and I didn't let him. The Spirit kind of rebuked him.
Can I stop you? We got to tell him that his dad was offered many times to get on the phone and email with us and talk Bible truth. And he ignored all of that. Didn't want nothing to do with me in the picture and me and Brother Kuo talking to him about truth. But he goes and he hunts down his son 10 hours away and finds him. And Brother Kuo stood against it all to the glory of God.
Amen.
That's wickedness, because that's like a wolf going after the new sheep of the flock kind of a thing. Instead of actually bringing Bible truth, he brought no scripture, by the way. And I even asked him, I said, did you repent of those things that we told you to repent of? Have you been working at it? Are you coming out of it? Are you doing anything? He's like, well, I'm a little bit less lazy. That's the only thing he's been working on. So I rebuked him, sent him away, and actually we sent him a follow-up email. With even sharper rebuke because I gave him too much time. So I thought I would just set the tone and say, if you ever come again, I'm just going to ignore you because Romans 16:17, I have to mark and avoid you.
You actually sent him a really strong audio.
Yeah, I did, because it made me righteously angry that he wasn't man enough to go through the elder of the body with biblical sound whatnot. And my father was kind of the guy that was my spiritual friend. He was kind of going through the same process as I was years ago, got baptized as an adult, and we were starting to seek a little bit of truth. So it made me righteously angry to see him so fleshly, so outside of the truth, not caring about the things of God, and now he's just a fleshly, compromised man, and I marked and avoided him just like any other person. But yeah, family will always try to reel you back because they're the closest flesh. A lot of times family idolizes children and idolizes sons and daughters, but Jesus said, unless you hate your father, your mother, your sisters, your brothers, your sons, your daughters, you can't be my disciple.
Amen.
So you have to forsake all of that. If they don't want to hear the gospel, if they want to hear the gospel, follow Christ, that would be awesome. That would be a miracle. But
yeah,
I'm living in a dream when I say that. So we have to mark and avoid them. And that's, the Spirit will give you the boldness. He'll prepare you for situations like that. It's almost like a trial, because the scriptures say the Lord tries the righteous. So he will allow things to happen to try you, to say, do you love me with all your heart? And your family will try to pull you back. And if you say, no, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm losing my life, I'm not going back to my old life, I'm putting my hand to the plow and looking forward, the Lord will bless you for that, and he will continue to mold you if you go after him, not your family. So
And Brother Akuo, you are the man you are today because you stood fast, because you didn't go back and compromise with your family, because you relied on the Word and the Spirit, and it's grown you up, and now you're out doing street ministry, you're growing in the Lord instead of sitting with a bunch of compromised people, like mother, father, brother, sisters, whoever. And so that's what every person has to face. I had to face it, Sister Amin had to face it, all the saints we know had to face it, Brother Akuo had to face it, and so that's something that you'll have to face, and especially when you have religious relatives that are following false religion, you can't stay united to them. Eventually you're going to have to say, I got to go. Now, if you have relatives that are just worldly and they say, whatever, I don't want to follow Jesus, you follow Jesus, you don't have to leave worldly relatives behind. You could, you know, loosely stay in contact with them. But if you have nothing in common with them, I mean, how close are you going to be with them? And you're going to go forth and learn ministry. So that's something to, if you're going to follow Christ, pray about. We can study on that with you about the separation, because it makes sense, doesn't it? If people live in sin and leaven, and you want to get sin and leaven out of your life, and they don't want to get the sin and leaven out of their life, something has to give, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you turn from that, and you go and you focus on the kingdom of God. Does that all make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. So any questions about that, or thoughts about that, Trey?
No. As much as it'll be hard, all in all, I always heard this saying, this was back when I used to listen to Paul Washer. He said, whether
heretic.
Well, he made a good point with this though. He said, whether you go to Christ or he comes here, it doesn't matter. Either way, you're still going to meet him. And at the end of your life, it really comes down to, do you want to waste your eternity?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And even blind squirrels find nuts sometimes. So Paul Washer has some truth, even though he's a wicked Calvinist and he's also a worldly guy. But anyway, that's another whole story. Yeah. So that's something to ponder. And go ahead, Brother Cool.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Jesus said, if you leave your mother, your brother, your sisters, your father, your mother, your lands for my sake and the gospel's, he'll give you an hundredfold now in this time with tribulations, as well as in the eternity to come. So if you leave that, if you leave the worldly compromised people for the eternal family of God, it's the best decision because, I mean, you're going to have to leave your family when you die anyway.
Amen.
I guess that's,
yeah.
It's like you're just giving them up early.
Yeah, and that's a great point. So don't think about what you have to give up and lose for the Lord. Think about what you're going to lose if you don't give all that up for the Lord, your soul.
Yeah.
And then think about how worthy he is. He shed his blood for us, beaten, battered, bloody, bruised. He forgives us. He'll cleanse us. And so what is he worth doing for in this life? And so I'm glad that we're on the same page on the gospel. I'm glad we could cover that Old Testament to New Testament, live in the New Testament, walk in the New Covenant. We do follow, and I've gone over this with Trey before, we do follow some pre-Torah things. One man, one woman. How we dress is in Genesis 3. We take dominion over the earth. We don't drink blood. These are all pre-Torah things in Genesis that we do, but we don't keep Torah law, and we must come out from the world and be ye separate. Brother Kuo and I both see how living separate, talking separate, dressing separate, spending our time and our money and our focus separate really opens the door for God to be glorified in our lives. If we were just like the world, people would be like, oh, whatever, they're just like the world. Man, we stand different, and people are like, what's up with you guys? Why are you different? Why are you standing out against this church? Why are you here at this Christian event? And we get to proclaim the truth to people. So the Bible calls us to be holy and set apart. And I love Romans 12, to be a living sacrifice. God used to have everything die and shed blood. Now Jesus did it for us once. It's over. Now he says, come be a living sacrifice for me. I love that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that's good. So we covered a lot tonight. I don't want to go much longer. I know it's getting late, and you got a lot to think about what we covered, but let me know via text or email or give me a call what steps you want to take next, what study you need help on, what encouragement you need. I would encourage you, and I think Brother Kua would, that regular Bible study with accountability, meaning encouragement in the Word of God, and striving forward is the only avenue you could take in Christ. If you stay still, you're not going forward, you're probably going to go backwards. If you're not aiming for the kingdom, the world and Satan is going to suck you up and destroy you. And so we would encourage you to get going in the Word of God and start obeying everything you know and go up from there. Would you agree with that, Brother Kuo?
Yeah, I would say one of the big barriers early on for me was
other than having to deal with me.
Other than that, it was the cloud of the flesh was the big thing. And what I mean by that is when you try to study the scriptures and you're soaking up all this information and you're learning all these things, if you're holding on to a piece of the world in your heart or your family in your heart, and you're not all in on the kingdom of God,
amen,
these things are spiritually discerned. So you have to be all in for God, and you have to give up your pride, your vanity. You have to give up everything and just say, Lord, I just want your truth. I just want your ways. I just want your kingdom. That's all I want. And you have to have that deep in your heart. You have to be settled in that. Because if you're holding on, like, I held on to pride for a little while into my walk in the truth, that made everything cloudy, uncertain. I would have doubts every once in a while, and it just made my walk so much harder.
It can destroy you, can't it, brother?
It can destroy you if you let it sit there and you don't do anything about it. And if you know that something's there, but you don't know what it is, pray about it and say, Lord, why can't I see this clearly? Because Jesus said, or because God is not the God of confusion, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So hey, brother,
if you find,
brother, didn't we just have to say goodbye to a brother because of that he didn't get let go of his pride in his flesh?
Yeah. These are things that if you find yourself in confusion when studying the Word of God, or if you find yourself in a lot of doubts, in a lot of like, I can't really understand this, or it's like, is this going to work? Am I going to do this correctly? If you have a lot of that and it's clouding up your vision, you may still be holding on to something in the world that you have to let go of in your heart. So that's Amen. Just a warning to give you, is that The Lord's not going to give you light and truth if you're still holding on to darkness. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
And Brother Kuo is basically saying, here's your life. It's a vessel. All of our lives were filled with junk and sin and flesh and worldliness. And a lot of people go like this and dump out maybe half of the vessel, and it's still filled with junk. God says, dump the whole thing upside down, everything, your pride, your vanity, your family, your bad habits, everything, dump it all out, and I'll fill you up with living water. Yeah, yep, you're going to fall into some of it again. You got to dump it out. I'll keep filling you up. But if you're not willing to dump it out, he doesn't mix light and darkness. He's not going to give you that truth and that light. So you got to really set your heart fully for the kingdom of God, and then God will honor you and bless you. It reminds me of Mark 10. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. He loved his stuff, and he turned away sad. What do we lack? Could be one thing, two things, five things. What do we lack? What do we got to get rid of so that we can actively seek the kingdom of God and be blessed by God and have that vision and that strength and that power to overcome? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So just some things for you to think about, and then you let us know how we can help you from here, okay?
Most definitely, most definitely. Before you go, though, last summer, were you up in Wisconsin Dells?
Yes.
I don't know if you saw me there, but I was at the same McDonald's that you were.
You were at what?
I was at the same exact McDonald's that you were at the same time.
Why didn't you come over and say hi?
Well, I wanted to be respectful, but I know, like you, like he said, mark and avoid. So I didn't think you would have. I just wanted to be respectful because I didn't think you would have.
You weren't at a place where you're ready to seek the truth then, were you?
No.
Yeah. Well, it was probably smarter that you didn't make the contact then, because I would have talked to you and I would have lovingly told you, hey, you better repent, young man. I love you. You're dabbling in sin. You're going to lose your soul. Call me when you're ready to repent. I'll be there to help you. I probably would have gave you a rebuke. You know me, right?
Yeah.
But that's okay. Maybe you saw us and that was somewhat of an influence that, hey, there's still people out there striving for the kingdom. And maybe it's all of God's glory. Now, it's not me and Sister Amin or Brother Kuo. It's all God's glory and God's doing a work in you. And so we just want to be salt and we want to be light and show people the way. Right, brother?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I wish you would have come up and said hi. But if you weren't ready to seek the kingdom, no point in it. But I'm glad you reached out now and we're here to help you.
Most definitely, most definitely. Well, I'm definitely, I definitely want to take the next steps, whatever they are.
Awesome. But, Brother Kuo and I will be here to help you.